Hello, everyone. Welcome back to season 3 of the Pretty Happy Podcast. I hope that you are having an amazing week so far, and I am so happy that you clicked on this episode and are joining us today. If you haven't already listened to the 3-part series on aligning with your soul's vision with Nikki, I highly recommend that you go back and listen because it is truly one of my favorite workshops that I've ever personally gone through. So if you haven't already done so, go back, check those episodes out. And I am so excited for today's episode. I have the one and only Brett on with me today. He's probably one of the most inspirational people that I've ever had the pleasure of meeting. He actually led a workshop at one of our retreats earlier this year, and everybody absolutely loved him. I think he led one of the most impactful workshops. So I'm so excited for you guys to get to know him today, to learn about all the things that he's going to talk about. I know that this is going to be just such a great episode that you and I are both going to learn so much from. So without further ado, let's dive right in. All right, everyone, welcome back to the Pretty Happy Podcast. I'm so excited for this episode because I have Brett with me. He's a speaker, a coach who helps women and men identify, prioritize, and align their personal and professional goals to create the life they truly want. So Brett, welcome to the Pretty Happy Podcast.
Thank you, Ashley. I'm really excited to be here. I appreciate you having me on.
Yeah. So how did you even get into this line of work?
Oh man, it's been a journey. I mean, I'm sure that's what everybody says, but I started as a personal trainer. I did that for years and really kind of morphed into coaching because I wanted to help people beyond fitness. I still do obviously some health and wellness stuff in my programs, but I just wanted to help people outside of that. I loved being with them for that hour, knowing that I could, you know, have a really good impact on their day. But I wanted to start to connect the dots in the other parts of their life. I wanted to connect what they're doing in wellness to their happiness, to their job, to their family, and really try to create this fulfillment lifestyle that people are looking for.
I love that. Well, I mean, I have to say, I think that you're the absolute perfect guest. And this is such a good episode to be recording because, you know, people get so amped up for the new year. So hopefully throughout this episode, you'll be able to share some of your tips and tricks and just all the things that you've learned throughout your whole journey. So I guess let's just, I know you have your workbook, the Win Your Week workbook. So let's talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, that's something that I have kind of formulated over the last couple of years as far as I was never really a great student, but I actually love learning and I love studying people who are successful. I love studying people who get a lot of stuff done in their business world, in their health world. And I've tried to connect the dots between what is making these people successful. And it's going to not be shocking to a lot of people, but the biggest thing is that they plan for their success. They have a plan and they attack that plan every week. So I've put together this, it's called Win the Week. And every single Sunday night, all of my clients, they do this quick little 30-minute setup and it gives them their game plan for the week. And for so many people, they've come back and said that this has been game changing as far as their setup goes, because they're not starting every day flipping a coin, trying to figure out where they start. They know where they begin. They know what they're trying to achieve each week. They have a list of exactly what they need to accomplish. And more importantly, it is scheduled in their week now. So most people don't realize just putting something in your calendar or scheduling time for it is going to increase your chances of accomplishing it by 30%. So you want a 30% increase in your success rate, just start scheduling things that actually matter to you in your phone.
Yeah. I mean, I totally believe that to be true. I think that is the same also for just eating healthy. I know when people actually have like a meal plan and they plan it out, you're more likely to stick to that. So yeah, I totally can see how that would work. So I know that you have a few tips on setting healthy boundaries. So let's talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, boundaries is something everybody can benefit from increasing or having better boundaries or just assessing the boundaries that you currently have. Mm-hmm. But the first thing people need to realize is they're not evil. When people think of boundaries, they immediately have this like tight feeling of like, oh, it's icky, it's mean, it's going to shove everybody away or push them away. It is not. It is really first the ultimate thing you need for self-care. But you have to make sure that you realize that you can't put your emotions and yourself as a priority and also other people as a priority. Their feelings and your feelings can't both be the priority. So boundaries are a great way to say like, hey, I want to make sure that I take care of myself. I want to make sure that my needs are met. And then I can make sure that everybody else can follow into that as well. So just a couple tips are, a lot of people think when it comes to boundaries, they don't want to tell that friend that they need boundaries, or their parents or their mom, whatever it is for the holidays. But you just need to be, you need to be assertive, but you also need to be respectful. And I think that those two things can be different. Assertive meaning you need to ask for what you need, because people can't read your mind. They right. don't know that the boundary that you currently have is not working. So for a lot of people, you need to create a new boundary. You need to uphold that boundary, making sure that you, you know, follow through with the boundary that you set. But also ask yourself why that boundary is going to help you. Because when it comes time to actually following through with the boundary, you need to remind yourself that boundary, I wanted that because it's going to give me this. Or that boundary is going to allow me space for something else. So boundaries are a good thing. They're so necessary. And for a lot of people, it's going to be the game changer for them that gets them past, you know, what's ever holding them back. Is if they just have some more boundaries, they're going to be able to get more of their own personal life done and better self-care.
Totally. Yeah, I agree 100%. It's interesting because it's like the one thing, probably a few other things too, but I feel like it's a big thing that all of us can continually work on.
Yes. Finding out where you need them in their life, I think with everything. Most people mm-hmm. think person to person, but I always tell people like, what is your boundary, your current boundary with technology? Your phone, your computer, your TV. What about for people who are, you know, looking to eat better? What is your relationship, your boundary with your fridge or your cabinets? I always use the joke, your fridge has a door for a reason, because sometimes it's supposed to be closed. So that, you know, just thinking about the boundaries that we have in other areas of our life with coworkers, our job, our business. If you're an entrepreneur, you know, again, it's hard to turn it off.
Totally. Yeah. You just get immersed in work. And then the next thing you know, it's, you know, wee hours of the night. And yeah, that's so true. All right. So you posted something about listening to your head versus your heart. And I thought this was like such a good post. So let's discuss that, because I think that that was an amazing point that you made.
Oh, thank you. I think oftentimes people think that there are two parties involved when you make a decision, and your head and your heart. And everybody knows this struggle. Your head's pulling you one way, your heart's pulling you the other way. Your head is usually going to give you the more logical decision. It's going to give you the logical decision. It's going to give you a tangible outcome. And you can usually like palpate the success that you would get if you go in that direction. Your heart, however, is going to really lean towards the emotional decision. The good thing about going with your heart is that it usually reduces your risk of regret, right? If you go with your heart and something doesn't work out, usually you can say, you know what, at least I did it, or at least I tried it.
Right.
If you go with your head, oftentimes you don't have to worry about as much heartbreak and stuff because your head is telling you the right thing. But I actually believe that there's a third player involved here, and it's the deciding factor, and that is your intuition. Your head is always going to pull you one way. Your heart's going to pull you the other way. But I believe that your intuition or your gut, whatever you want to call it, it always knows the way. And if you think back to the last like really difficult decision you had, your intuition knew the answer before you actually allowed yourself to make the decision.
Right.
It knows the way. It's telling you. Your gut kind of is leaning towards the heart or the head, or it might even be a third decision with neither of those ways. But I really think that if people can lean on their intuition, it is so rarely wrong that I believe it's going to usually steer you in the right direction.
Right. Have you ever had a moment where your intuition did steer you in the wrong direction? Or,
you know, I would say that for me personally, it is so few and far between that I can't recall those. I only recall the ones where I look back and I'm like, yeah, my intuition knew immediately. It took me 3 weeks to decide, but my intuition knew exactly what I was supposed to do. Or my gut told me to go follow this passion or this dream. And I look back and I'm like, man, I'm so glad I followed my gut, because maybe my head would have talked me out of it, or my heart right. would have went with the emotional decision. And I'm kind of glad that the intuition or the gut took over.
Yeah, I would say, I mean, just while we were talking, I was trying to think of a time if there was ever a moment where my intuition led me in the wrong direction. And I think I'm the same as you. It's so far and few between that I can't even recall a time where it did. So
yeah. So I would say trust it.
Yeah. And then I know you have 6 tips to build a winner's mindset. So maybe we can go over those.
Sure. Sure. You're speaking my language here. So I love building. And when I say winners, to me, that just means whether you're looking up to celebrities, actors and actresses, sports figures, whatever your judgment of success is. I believe, you know, I like thinking winning. Winning to me is getting things done, is achieving success, doing great things. So part of being a winner is you have to start with the mindset of winning. So often people just want to check the box. Let me just go do the thing. Well, before we get really good at that, we have to start thinking like a winner. And for some people, they may not be doing that right now. So just a couple of these shifts that I'm going to mention here could be really helpful to get them starting to be like, hey, I want to be that person that wins. I want to win consistently. I don't want it to be a fluke. I want to start doing it regularly. So number one is you have to have a vision. You have to know what winning means to you. What does winning the day look like? What does winning a quarter look like? Winning the year? What is winning, you know, finding a winning relationship or whatever that may mean to you? What does that mean? Have those markers so you know what you're going after.
Right.
Number two is a lot of times people think, oh, let me get back to a winner's mindset when we're losing. But I want to talk to the winners out there who already feel like they have a winner's mindset. Well, I want to ask you, are you trying to get better even when you're winning? When we have a great day, can we still look at that and be like, hey, how could I maybe have made that a tiny bit better? Or
I love that.
Maybe 2021 was awesome for you and you're kicking off the year, as opposed to being like, let me just do that again. Say, okay, how could I have made that even more successful? How could I have potentially made more money? How could I have even bettered my relationships even more?
Yes.
So really trying to get better even when we're doing well.
Yeah, I love that. I think that's so, so important. Such a good point, because I think it's so easy when you're in those moments to feel like you're doing good.
Yeah.
That you don't even necessarily reflect on the things that you still could have done better.
Yes. Yes. So there's a lot of lessons in losses, but there's always lessons in wins too. Mm-hmm. And rather than saying, oh, I won, let's not change anything. Sometimes we win, but we win ugly and we got to figure out how to make it look a little better.
Yeah.
Next one I would say would be, and there's a little cliche here, but winning is done when nobody's watching. And before you get the award, before you get the acknowledgement in your team meeting, before you get, you know, 1 million viewers or 1,000 followers, whatever it be, it's like you were doing that before you got to that point.
Oh, yeah.
And so often people, and I talk about this with habits all the time, but so many times people want to get fit and then adopt all the habits that a fit person has. Or they want to be really successful and then all of a sudden adopt the habits that the successful person has. It works the other way around. You need to have the habits first. So if you're thinking whatever you want, I often say, what does that person do? How do they act? How do they think? That's what you need to do. So winning is really done behind the scenes. Any award that's ever given out, any game that's ever been won, it's usually the person who did more work before they got to the bright lights and they got to the stage.
Yeah. Well, and I often think too, people who were winning or very successful, it's like they might not even be the smartest person or the most talented person, but they outworked everybody.
Oh my God, Ashley, you're absolutely right. I hope everybody listens to that twice. Is putting the work in before you get the recognition. And oftentimes we want recognition so that we can feel good about it. Well, let's go, okay, I got recognition. Let's go work hard. We get recognition for working hard. So
exactly. It
kind of happens in the reverse order.
Yeah.
I would say another one would be show up when you don't feel like it. Winners show up. They show up when they don't feel like it. They show up when it's hard. They show up when it's cold. You know, they do it when it's not sexy to show up. They do it not just because they feel like it. They do it because they said they were going to do it. And I think keeping your word is one of the most valuable, impactful things that everybody who's listening could get better at. Ask yourself, how can you better keep your word? How can you be a little bit more loyal to the promises and commitments that you make to yourself? Next one would be, losses are going to happen, right? And now this is where I could potentially speak out of both sides of my mouth, because I'm one of those people where we can always find a win. We can always find something at the end of the day to say, hey, today was a great day. But when I say, there are going to be losses, as opposed to, and as opposed to, you know, thinking about anything as a loss or, hey, a mistake that we maybe made, I want you to get back in the game as soon as possible. So if somebody maybe had a really bad breakfast, right? You went out to brunch and you just did it. And it was like, okay, that wasn't really the plan, but brunch was amazing. Had some mimosas. We did it. It's so easy to be like, the day is gone. Let's go tomorrow. Tomorrow I'll get back on track.
Yes.
Why can't we get back on track the very next meal? Why can't we get back on track the next decision? I always say you are one good decision away from being back on the positive momentum.
Oh, I love that.
So one quick decision can get you back. So when I say get back in the game of life is great because we have all of these opportunities all day long. So when is your next opportunity? Let's make it a good one. And you're right back. You're back to the winning, right? You're back to that winner's mindset.
Yeah. And I think that makes me think of one other thing that you talked about was that a lot of people have an all or nothing mindset.
Yes.
So it's like you fall off the wagon a little bit. So then it's like, okay, well, I might as well be totally off for a while because I already ruined it a little bit.
Yes. And for some people, they feel like that's a positive thing, right? The all or nothing. If I go, I'm going to go all in. Mm-hmm. The only problem with that from my standpoint as a coach is that when you tell me that you go all in on things, you're also admitting that you tend to go all out on things. So what I hear is I'm like, okay, we got to keep this person in, but we also need to make sure that we rein them back in if they do fall off a little bit, because their tendency is to say like, I'm out now.
Mm-hmm.
Or not start things because we're afraid we're not going to maybe score 100 on it.
That's a good point too. Yeah, I feel like that. I mean, just from personal experience, I can say that happens sometimes. It's like, I don't know what the outcome is necessarily going to be, so I don't even start because the fear of failure or whatever it may be holds me back.
I'm right there with you, Ashley. And everybody out there who is a perfectionist or a recovering perfectionist is, you know, some tough love on this is, I truly believe that using the excuse of like, I'm a perfectionist, is really just a big excuse that is phrased like a compliment.
Mm, so true.
Do you see what I'm saying there?
Yeah.
It's like, I'm a perfectionist, so like I haven't finished this yet, or I'm a perfectionist, so I haven't put out my podcast yet, or I haven't written my... Well, that is kind of a nice way of being like, man, I'm so good that I haven't finished that yet, when really what it is it's just another excuse.
Right. In reality, you just haven't finished it yet, or you're afraid to.
Yet. Or it may be good already, but you're not going to put it out unless it's perfect. Well, perfect, you know, can hold us back from a lot of things. It may never be perfect, right? But good can still help a lot of people. Good can still get things done. I come from the world where C's get degrees, if you know what I mean.
Same.
Right? So, hey, I'm still here. I made it. So, hey, you know, good is good enough sometimes.
Oh, totally.
And the last one here, Ashley, is just increase self-awareness. Everybody can afford to do that. I am always challenging myself personally to how I can be more self-aware. And for those people who say like, well, maybe their awareness is not where they want it to be, or they want to work on that. Well, that's where coaches come in. That's where having people that can give you honest feedback can help you increase your self-awareness, because they can see things that you can't. So what I do with my clients is they may not be able to connect the dots the same way I can, because they're in it. I'm looking at it from the outside. I can see the big picture so much clearer than they can a lot of times.
An unbiased opinion.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Just honest feedback. I always promise, hey, it's not going to be the answer you always love, but I'm going to be honest with you.
Right. Yeah. And I love that you brought that up too, because I was just going to ask, like, how does one, if that's something they want to work on, become more self-aware? Because I feel like that's something we could all work on a little bit, whether it's in one area of life or another. So
Yeah,
coaches.
it's reflecting. It's reflecting back, and reflecting not from a standpoint of good or bad, but reflecting with honesty, and reflecting saying, okay, these are the areas that I have room to improve. These are the areas that I'm good at, and these are the areas that I'm not so good at. And for some people, that's tough, right? We live in this world where we want to focus on the positive, because hey, who doesn't want to look at the good things that they're good at? But if you want to increase the self-awareness, it can't be, well, I'm going to turn a blind eye when I'm not doing what I'm supposed to, and then when I am, I'm going to celebrate myself like crazy. It's kind of like we want to just have that not too high, not too low. We want to be able to give ourselves that honest opinion where, I forget the line, but it's like, this too shall pass. And it's kind of one of those where when we're in the lowest of lows, like, that will pass, right? We're not going to be there forever. And when you're on stage getting the trophy, it's like, well, tomorrow, you had the trophy yesterday, now what? You know, it's kind of like, you're too shall pass.
Both ways. Yeah, both ways. Yeah. And I think that's so important to remember too, because it's just easy to get caught up in the celebrations when you're doing well and when you're winning and all of those things.
Yeah. So just having that self-awareness. And then if you feel like, hey, you want more, that's where you reach out to somebody else. You know, personal trainers, coaches, therapists, they can all help you with that self-awareness, because they can pick out things that maybe you're doing subconsciously that you don't even realize. Or maybe things that you're missing. Maybe you're actually doing better than you think, but you're just not looking at it that way. And you need somebody to point out and be like, hey, you realize that this was actually a really big win? Or, hey, you're actually doing great.
Right. Yeah. Well, and I think too, it's like, I think that ego part sometimes can come into play for some people. Like, they don't want to ask for help, but it's like, you sometimes there's some areas in life where you're just, that's not your skilled level of expertise, right? And so if you bring in someone who is an expert in that area, they're only going to help you improve to become better.
Ashley, you just added number seven. Seven ways to build a better mindset. Ask for help. You're exactly right. We can only get so far by ourselves. When you ask for help, you now give yourself the ability of two sets of eyes and two brains and two thought processes. It's only going to help you grow. So I love that. Number seven, put it to the list.
Yes. Woohoo. I love it. Okay. So can you share a few tips with us on how to win the day?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Can't win your week unless you win your Monday, right? Got to win the week. And I also say you can't win your day unless you dominate your morning. So before we go into like how you can win the day, I would ask everybody, what does that mean to you?
Okay.
Because winning the day for me, we could do the exact same things, Ashley. And at the end of the day, I could feel incredibly successful and you could feel like, I don't know, it wasn't really a great day for me. So knowing what your kind of markers are or your standards for a good day. And to give example of this is, you know, there could be a day where if I plan my day and I say, hey, Brett, you're going to wake up at a certain time, you're going to get a workout in, you're going to do this, this, and this, check it off. And you're going to go for a walk, have a really good dinner and go to bed, right? Just simple. Mm-hmm. Well, if I do all of those things, but I hit the snooze button in the morning and maybe I missed my workout, what happens is I could have checked 10 things off all day and I could still maybe lay my head down on the pillow and be like, wasn't a great day. And what I mean by that is my workout is very important to me. And when I say very important, it like sets up my day. It makes me feel good. It allows me to take care of myself so I can go take care of everybody else and give to everybody else. So knowing what the things are, because it's not always about more boxes being checked. It's about what boxes need to be checked for you to feel like you won the day.
Yes.
So my first question for everybody is, what are those boxes? And it shouldn't be 10 to 20. It should be one, maybe two, maybe three, that you check those, you're going to have a really good day.
Yeah.
That's number one. Two,
okay.
A great day starts the night before. So similar to how we talked about setting up our week, I would just ask yourself the night before to just, like, you know, take a couple seconds and think about what tomorrow has in store for you. How can you best approach it? And put a little game plan together as far as like, hey, if I do this, this, and this, I think I'm going to win the day. I think I'm going to be on offense. And I use this all the time. And my workbook has this written all over it and stuff. But I ask people like, hey, are we playing offense or are we playing defense? Defense means you are trying to guard the rest of the world and they are running the show and you are just in reaction mode. Offense is like, I am going to take control of the day. I'm going to make the decisions and everything else is going to work around my plan. So to win the day, you got to be playing offense, Ash.
Not defense.
And that comes with a little bit of plan. You got to have a game plan to play offense.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think when you sit down and you actually take time to plan things out, it takes like the thinking and the worrying and all that stuff out of it. So, and I'm sure if you're starting on Sunday and then you're kind of reminding yourself throughout the week every night, you're really going to be more likely to stick to your plan.
Yeah. You want to just review it, right? We don't want to write a plan. Or same thing goes with anybody who's setting goals in January or the beginning of a month, is you don't want to set goals, close the book, put it away for 12 months. Like, we want to look at it all the time. We want to make sure that we are very aware. Same thing goes with goals. Write your goals, put them on your wall, put them on your bathroom mirror, put them somewhere you have to see them. if you don't see them, you're not going to remember why you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. So the more that you can remind yourself, the better for that.
Yeah, totally. All right. And then second to last question before we go today. Do you have, I know we're going to be talking about this at the retreat, so ways to improve daily energy.
Oh, I love this. I love this. So first of all, I just want to acknowledge you for great energy. You are from the minute we met each other, you have amazing energy and it's tangible. And I think it's the most contagious thing in the world. So thank you for bringing that today.
Thank you for saying that.
I think energy is something that everybody wants, but it's not a light switch. Energy comes from a lot of other decisions. And this, you know, kind of ties into everything we're doing, but you know, the healthier your boundaries are, better your energy is going to be. The more that you follow your intuition, the better your energy is going to be. When you think like a winner, your energy is going to be better because you're going to feel like a winner throughout the day. When you are planned for your day, you're going to wake up feeling so much lighter and less stressed and less anxious. So all of those things do tie into improving your daily energy. But what I really want to give people here is to remind them that it's a choice. You get to choose the energy that you show up with every day. It does not mean that you have to fake it all the time, but it's a decision when you walk into any room or when we turn our computers on, like we're doing here today, is, you know, I had a choice. As soon as I hit enter to come into this room, as I said, do I want to be, you know, again, I know there's only two of us, but do I want to elevate the energy of this room or do I want to bring it down? Because you're going to do one or the other. Do I want to drain your energy and take from you, or do I want to give as much as I possibly can? Now being a guest on a podcast, you know, obviously I want to give, but this goes for any room. It could just be you and your boyfriend, you and your girlfriend. It could be you and your kids. It could be you and your company. But ask yourself, as soon as you wake up in the morning, what kind of energy do you want to give to everybody? Because like I said, I believe it's the most contagious thing in the world. And contagious means it's spread positively or negatively. Probably a bad reference. But what I mean by that is you're going to have an impact on the people around you. Choose what kind of impact you want to have. And it doesn't mean legacy. It doesn't mean that. I mean, like a smile on somebody's face. That's what I mean by impact.
I love everything that you said. And I love so much that it kind of tied back into everything that we've talked about today so far. And just this last little piece of information reminds me of a conversation that I actually just had with one of my friends. And she was saying how everybody always talks about the energy you want to bring into when you walk into a room, right? It's like, you walk into a room and everyone talks about how, you know, you want to be that bright light that, you know, everyone kind of has that energy is contagious. And she was like, but I always focus on how I leave a room, how the energy is when I leave a room, because to me, that's more important.
Love it.
So, I mean, same thing that you're discussing here. Yeah.
So good. So good. Because it is slightly different, right? Because we go into that room and who knows what kind of energy is already in there, right? So sometimes you got to go in with your shield and you got to go in with your sword and say like, hey, I'm going to make this a positive experience. But that's such a great thing. It's like, how do you leave that room? And absolutely awesome advice right there.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for sharing all of your knowledge. I think that you are just incredible. Two more things before we go. I like to ask this question to everyone who comes on the podcast. What are three things that you're grateful for today?
Oh, I love that. One is family. I am currently with family here for the holidays, and family is so important to me, and I don't get to see them as often because I live a little further away than a lot of them. So one, family. Two, opportunities. And I say this one often, and I just think that every day is filled with opportunities, and you can, you know, listeners can take that however they want, but even being here with you today is an opportunity, and I'm so grateful for that. And number three, I would say the ability to share with people. And I love sharing things that I'm passionate about. I love speaking things that I feel like I have a gift for. And I'm really grateful anytime I get to do that. And it could be here, it could be the stranger in the street, person in the supermarket. But, you know, the easiest thing to share is a smile. And everybody just remember that. And you can have so much of an impact bigger than you'd even ever imagine.
I couldn't agree more. And where can everybody find you online? I mean, I already said this. I think that you are incredible. Yeah. You can tell just how passionate you are about what you do. So I want everyone to be able to follow you and see all of the amazing things that you post and just all the good stuff.
Thank you, Ashley. I really appreciate that. You can find me on Instagram at Motivated by Brett. My website is motivatedbybrett.com, so it's all pretty streamlined there. I have a podcast as well. It's called the Better You Blueprint Podcast, where a buddy of mine and I talk all things, you know, just trying to get better. It's the stuff I love talking about, and I have been taking notes from you, Ashley. We're pretty new, but we've been taking some notes, trying to figure out how we can get better. So, I always open for conversation. People, please reach out. Share with me some goals. Share with me what winning the day looks like to you. I love getting feedback from people.
Yes, I love it. Well, thank you so much for being here today. I hope you enjoy the rest of your time with your family, and we will be in touch soon. I'll see you at our retreat.
Yes, I cannot wait. Thank you, Ashley, so much.